keep it real simple, keep it real simple.
Come on, Simple Church, let me hear you this morning. Come on, come on, come on, yeah. How about that band this morning, man? Sing a song, man. Come on, man. We ready for a good time, and I am so thankful that you're here with us this morning in the room or watching online or on TV now. It's hard for us to believe that we're saying that, but we're so thankful that you are. This series, we're wrapping up today, but it has been a lot of fun. Hopefully, it has helped you stay positive because we've talked about a lot of different things, from your attitude to gratitude to the power of our words, just to name a few things. But today, as we wrap it up, you may be saying, well, what is the final topic on Stay Positive? Well, here it is. You ready? Go ahead, drum roll, please, and put it on. It's enthusiasm. Now you're going, enthusiasm? Oh, great. Give me an E. Oh, yes, great. Yeah, see, this is your problem right there. Some of you are going, Justin, come on, man, what do you think this is? Cheerleading? Were you a cheerleader or something? I'm glad you brought it up because, yes, I was right here. Look at that right there, son. Woo! Lord, forgive me, all right? And then if you're just thinking, man, that's kind of crazy, you're a cheerleader. Yeah, here's the real picture, though. Let's show you brute strength right there. Come on, give it up for him. Old school. How about them Cowboys? Now, you're probably going, were you really the mascot, the cheerleader? Yes, I was. And now let's try it again. Give me an E.
E.
There you go. See, we won't spell it out because I know it'll take too long. But you get the point. Enthusiasm is the topic today. And believe it or not, it's not just a motivational thing. It's not just a cheerleader thing. It is a spiritual thing, and it is also a very biblical thing. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of knowledge. I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you. In the Greek, we get the word enthusiasm from enthios. See, you're going, man, is that guy really that smart? I looked it up. Trust me, it don't matter. But what does it mean? It means in God or filled with God. That's where we get the word enthusiasm from. So when you're filled with God, it really does make a huge difference. It helps you to see things differently. It helps you to respond differently. It helps you to even act differently. Ephesians chapter 3 says it like this: I pray that you will be filled by God Himself. This is the goal of walking with Christ, is that when He comes into our life, that it would change us. It would change us to the point that it would bring some enthusiasm into the world that we're living in. Now, you say, when you're talking about changing us, I mean, really, what are you talking about? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says it like this, that when God fills us, He gives us the victory over sin and death. Can I get an amen on that somewhere? Come on. Yes, man, listen, we need it. I had to do a funeral this past week for a dear friend that I served with in student ministry forever. But I stand there doing the funeral, knowing that we have victory over sin and death because of what Christ has done, because of Jesus. So then, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Keep the next screen up for me. Come on, here we go. Here it is. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. So you're strong, you're immovable, but you also go to work enthusiastic, saying, all right, God, because you filled me, because you give me strength, I am immovable and I can get through whatever the world is throwing at me. And let's be honest, 2020, we got a lot of stuff thrown at us. In 2021, it's early, but it still feels like things are coming at us. And so we're going, how do we get through it? How do we stay positive? By saying, Jesus, fill us, help us, God inside of us, so that we can have some enthusiasm. And we can work enthusiastically for the Lord. And I know what some of you are saying, because I have been there as well. You go, that's my problem. I'm not working for the Lord. Do you know my boss? He's the devil. That's why you're saying it's a lot of tough. It's difficult. I understand that. I want to introduce you to my boss when I worked back in the day sacking groceries. Here she is right there. That is her. If you know her, do not, you know, don't tell anybody. This was back in the 80s, man. 1985, 1986, I sacked groceries at Kroger. And her reputation, the lady that was our boss, they called her the wicked witch of the Kroger. That was what they did. They're like, oh, I can't believe you're working for her. I'm like, I understand. I get it. Sometimes our bosses are tough. Sometimes our work environments are even tougher. Trust me, I have learned over the years, it's not always easy. Somebody might, even in the simpler church, think that we have some tough bosses. I hope and pray not, but I get it. When you're in those environments and, you know, days are tough and things are going through, you're like, oh, come on, help me get through it. Well, I've learned a couple of things. One of the things is this. There are two types of people. We're going to go through the first one, and I have been both of these in my life and sometimes still struggle today with it. The first group is this. People who let the environment determine their enthusiasm. Let's just walk through this for a minute. Some people in this world, and I have been there. When I was at Kroger, it was that way. You let the environment that you're in determine how you enjoy life or how you get through life. We all battle with these different environments that we're in controlling us or knocking us down. When I was sacking groceries, I mean, I'm telling you, it was not a glamorous job. I mean, paper or plastic was not, you know, some way you go enthusiastically. Paper or plastic? Pow! You know, people didn't care. You know, if you've ever been inside of a grocery store, it's not always easy because there's all kinds of things that you encounter. Our boss was trouble. She was difficult to work for, no doubt. But while you're working in the grocery store, you also see people, a lot of different people. And if you're in the people business where you work in the environment or in the culture, you know it can be challenging. Shall I prove it in the grocery store? Different things that I saw that made it challenging? Here's an example. When you see people like this, you got to understand, that is challenging. This is not made up. We did not go stage these. These are actual pictures of people going to the grocery store. I guess she forgot her mask that day and she improvised, all right? So if you go, well, that's bad. How about this one, all right? Now I know somebody, don't judge her. Now, if you know these people, forgive me right now, all right? Don't send me letters, emails. I'm just saying that that's a challenge. But it gets worse. It does get worse. Maybe you've seen something like this. You know, the old carts going through the aisles. And as I worked in grocery stores, these are all mild. I have seen all kinds of things. But this is my favorite. This is an actual picture from the grocery store. That's the truth. I don't know why there's a horse in there, but she did it, all right? She came in, she got her horse, she's making a few runs, and you're going, come on, man. It's the truth. The world that we live in and the environments that we work in can be very challenging. But here is what God, I believe, was teaching me as I was working in this challenging environment of a grocery store. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So let's just say by chance you feel like you're in a situation in your job that you, I don't know why I'm doing this. I mean, I just feel like it's useless. I feel like I'm wasting my time. I can relate. Sacking groceries, I didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm going, God, really, what am I doing? You know, how is this really working out? But when I look back and I evaluate what God was doing, there was something going on. God was teaching me, even in the grocery store, that I was working for the wrong boss and I was looking at the wrong things. And you go, what do you mean? Well, it wasn't for the Lord. I was working again for whoever was in front of me. And once I started working for that customer or for that boss, many times I would miss the true meaning of why I was on this planet. I had this idea of going, well, I'm just going to get through this day. Have you ever been there before? I'm just going to get through this shift, whatever shift I was on. And then I was like, God, there's just got to be more to this. Well, God was teaching me, hey, man, it's not about working enthusiastically for your boss or even for the customers. All those things can be great. I want you to change your mindset to working for me. Now, where it really got clear for me is when I started working for my mom. My mom actually had a cleaning job for a living. She was like a maid, a janitor, whatever you want to call it. She cleaned houses and cleaned apartments. One of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my life was working for my mom. Kroger was tough. I had a tough boss. My mom was my boss in the second job, but it wasn't so tough working for her. It was the environments that we were in. We transitioned apartments. So when someone moved out, my mom would come in and we would get that apartment ready for the next guest. And you'd say, well, Justin, how bad could that be? Well, here's some images just to remind you of environment being tough. This is some of the stuff that we would look at right here. Now you'd go, come on, Justin. I wish that I could make it up. I'm not making it up. There were many times we'd walk in, and I was in charge of the bathrooms. I'm going to tell you, my mom would go, son, go lock yourself in the bathroom. I'd be like, no, I ain't locking myself in there. She's like, you go do what you got to do. She'd give me my cleaning supplies. I'd go in, and we had to get that back ready for a guest to come in. Now, she said, hey, I'm going to the worst position in the house. I was like, Mom, it don't get worse than this. She was like, all right, look at the kitchen. We'd go in, and this is what it looked like when you'd open refrigerator doors. This is not an exaggeration. You go, Justin, come on, you got to be kidding me. If you've ever wondered if there's nasty people in the world, can I get an amen that there are, right? Yes. People just didn't care. They didn't respect the apartments. They would just tear their refrigerators up, tear their bathrooms up. And my mom would be working on the stove, and it would look something like this. This is no exaggeration. Just never cleaned anything. So these are the things that you could see. So remember, the bathroom, the refrigerator, the stove. Imagine what it would look like behind the fridge. My mom would actually pull out all of the stoves, pull out all the refrigerators, and clean everything to where it was spick and span. I'm talking about you could eat off the floor when we left. Sometimes we would spend 8 hours in one apartment getting it transitioned. And the whole time I'm sitting there going, this is miserable. Like, Mom, how are you doing this? How in the world are we giving our life to this? And she honestly, from her gut, would tell me and teach me, you're not working for this apartment complex, Justin. You're not working for this next guest coming in. You really are working for God. I'm like, nobody will ever see behind the refrigerator. Just let it go. And she'd say, but God does. And I'd be like, okay, Mom. I'd be like, hey, Mom, that's good enough. And she would come in there and she goes, no, son, this passage is something I want you to remember. In Colossians chapter 3, please, if you want to talk about enthusiasm, you want to talk about working for the Lord, you want to talk about getting your heart right, here it is. Whatever work you do, now, I don't know what your job is. I don't know what you woke up this morning going, all right, I'm going in. What am I going to do? Whatever work you do, do it with all your heart. Do it for the Lord and not for men. So when you walk in and you drag in and go, oh, my gosh, here we go, another day, whatever it is, God's going, really? Like, man, I'm giving you life. I'm giving you this breath. I'm giving you this opportunity. You're going to kind of walk in, kind of just like, well, you just don't know my environment, Justin. You just don't know how difficult it is. You don't know my boss. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does. God does. And you and I have a choice to go, I ain't working for this man or that woman. I'm not worried about that customer or that, you know, situation. I'm working for the Lord. And as a result, I'm saying, God, fill me so that I can be filled with God and enthusiastically go into whatever position or job or work situation I'm going into with the right heart, knowing that I'm not working for these people. I'm working for the Lord, which leads me to the second group of people. You go, well, what's the second group of people? Who are the second group of people? People whose enthusiasm actually changes their environment. This is what I'm hoping for all of us, is that you and I would become people that when we're hired, when a company brings you in, when you begin to work for any circumstance or situation, that your presence changes the environment. That's the goal. That is why we are on this planet. It's so that you and I could make an eternal difference. We could flip the script. No matter how bad, no matter how difficult it is, when we showed up, they're like, man, I'm so glad they're here. It's a pleasure to work with them. Man, this is a great thing for me. Now, Romans chapter 12, 11 says, and verse 11 says this, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So if you're looking for a message for your kids, you're looking for a message for your family, you're looking for a message for your life, here it is. Man, let's don't be lazy. Let's find a way to work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now, I know we need a modern illustration to drive this home. So as I went for the Google search and started looking for different videos I could drive at home, you know I always have a tendency to lean towards my man, Steve Hartman. Good news, I found a good one for you, all right? You're going, what do you mean? Well, this is one that tripped me out because, believe it or not, it's about a grocery store, which I could relate to because it wasn't easy working in a grocery store. But it is also something I think will put a smile on your face and remind you, golly, if this guy's going out like that, why can't I? God, why can't I? This is a great story and a great reminder of how to work enthusiastically. Watch this.
When you reach a certain age, just getting down to the driveway can feel like a full day's work. But for 97-year-old Benny Facito of Perth Amboy, New Jersey, overcoming those stairs is just the beginning of his workday.
What the hell time is up here?
2 days a week, he clocks in for a four-hour shift.
There it is.
His job?
Oh, good morning, hon.
Bag boy at the local Stop and Shop.
See that? Look at how nice I do it.
Benny used to be a warehouse supervisor for a cosmetics company.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He supposedly retired back in the 80s, but he's been doing odd jobs ever since because he says he loves a hard day's work and always has.
What was your first job you ever had?
Who, me?
Yeah.
A shoe shine job. We had a shoe shine when I was young.
At what age?
Seven or so.
So you shine shoes, then what did you do?
Then I go home.
No. What was your next job?
I went to barber school.
Okay.
After that, I went to the Army.
Benny served in the Army Air Force during World War II. He was a gunner on a B-25 Mitchell bomber, flying mostly over Northern Africa and Italy. Today, his Italian casualties are far less consequential. But he still approaches his job with that same tireless, warrior-like determination. For example, Benny says he'd sooner stack a honeydew on white bread than loaf around on the job.
I don't take no breaks.
No breaks?
No breaks.
Benny will not take a break.
Never?
Never take a break.
That's the boss man.
Mike Moss is the assistant manager.
What if you went up to him right now and said, Benny, it's break time?
He'll yell at me.
I learned that the hard way.
I don't want it.
Take a break. Take a load off.
I don't want to stop. Don't tell me how to work. See the light on? That's where I'm going.
When I pressed Benny on this, he said something really interesting. He said, why would I take a break when I only get to work 4 hours? He actually put it that way. I only get to work 4 hours. As if bagging groceries was some kind of privilege bestowed upon him.
I get a feeling that I did something good. Mm-hmm. You can't just stand around like an idiot. You have to have a reason to keep alive. You're welcome, sir.
For Benny, that reason is to go out and earn. Not just a paycheck, but a purpose. He says you need to contribute at all times and avoid breaks at all costs.
You go sit down.
No, I don't want to sit down.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Edison, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Come on, man, give it up for him. Oh, my gosh. Is that not a great story? 97 years old. Why are you going to sit down, idiot, right? Let's go to work. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. What is your story? And when you go to work, what do they say about you? Does your boss like, man, yeah, I love them. Man, they're always ready to work. They have such a great attitude. Or they walk in and you're going, oh, God, they're here. Think about it. Really think about this. This is our job as believers to be filled with God so much so that when we walk in, we work hard, we're never lazy, and we're enthusiastic about whatever it is that God's called us to do. Sacking groceries or cleaning toilets, whatever it is, God, I'm just thankful to be working. The question is who are you working for? See, this is the thing I think that my mom was trying to show me, that God was trying to teach me back in Kroger. Even better, now that I'm 51 years old, is who am I living for? Who am I working for? Who am I living for? And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, if I had a better job, if I had a better boss, a better husband, if I lived in a different city, if I could just get all of these things right, well, things would be better. Remember, you ready for this? Enthusiasm is not a product of an environment. It's a product of a life filled by God. So if you want to know how it changes, how our communities change, how your workplace changes, how your home changes, you're saying, God, it's not about me being enthusiastic because I got a new job or I moved to a new city or, man, I got a new husband, you know. Huh? No, man, come on. The reality is this. It's all about me and you getting filled with God. And regardless of circumstance or situations, man, because we're filled with him, it changes us and it changes the worlds and the environments that we enter. Romans 12, 11. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, no matter what's going on, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Go to the next screen for me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, excuse me. Now, why do I tell you that? Whenever he's overflowing, if he's filling you, the idea is that it would overflow into the environments and the workplaces, that the Holy Spirit would be so inside of you that it changes where you are and what's happening around you. Now, we already know the opposite of enthusiastic is apathetic. And for many of us, that's where we are, and that's where the church is, and that's what happens. But the Bible knows apathy. And so what does it challenge us? It challenges with other words like enthusiastic and zeal, and eager is another word. 1 Peter, you can look it up later. It says, man, I was eager to serve in 1 Peter 5:2. In Titus, again, chapter 2, verse 14, it says he was eager to do good. I was enthusiastic about doing good. Well, I'll go ahead and read you part of Titus in chapter 2 when it says Jesus died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from constant falling into sin. So this is why Jesus came, to rescue us, to help us so that we wouldn't keep get tripped up by the same things. And Jesus died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from this constant going in. Next screen, please. And make us his very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others. Why am I going over this? Why am I driving it home? I talk about doing good a lot. I talk about trying to change our world. We talk about solving problems. This is what the scripture was full of and challenging us to do, is that we would be so different that our schools, our workplaces, our communities, our jobs, all of these things would be different. Why? Because our enthusiasm for doing kind things for others would be something everyone would notice. Not just the sermons we preach or the songs that we sing. Those things are great. But more important than that, is it changing you? Is it making you different when we go into the real world? So why are we talking about even the next few weeks trying to love on all of our hospitals in our area? Why are we going to try to do good and be kind to them? Is because that's what he calls us to. Man, there's doctors and nurses serving right now all across this city, all across this state, in some of the most difficult and challenging circumstances and situations that any of us could ever imagine. And what is our job? To find a way with real enthusiasm, because Christ has cleansed us, because God has filled us, to do kind things for others. Man, go to our app, go to our website and say, man, what is this February 14th thing you're talking about, this hope for hospitals? What are we really talking about? It's all about enthusiastically changing the world that we live in, changing the community that we live in. And guess what? Songs are great. Sermons are a part of it. Hopefully it will motivate you and encourage you, but it really goes with you and your heart. God, fill me. God, change me so that I can make a difference. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, we saw the 97-year-old guy doing it, filling groceries and doing all that, but you saw his energy, you saw his excitement. Well, I got to give you one more, because he was kind of, 97, he's working hard. He's definitely not lazy, but enthusiastic, some of you'd say, well, maybe not. Well, I can promise you this. This next example, you will see enthusiasm at its best, and you will also see doing kind things for others, and you will see as well what a difference it makes. Check out this example by guess who? Steve Hartman once again. Watch.
What you want?
No matter what you order from school cafeteria worker Deborah Davis.
I have a Caesar salad. I have chicken patty, chicken and rice.
Every meal comes with a sweetie pie.
All right, sweetie pie. You're welcome.
Auntie Deborah, as she's known here at Hoover High School, doles out a heaping helping of hospitality every lunch hour.
You're welcome, sweetie.
And this is just her first course of kindness.
See y'all tomorrow.
After serving food all day,
I come out here.
After lunch, Deborah drives her beat-up 76 Chevy Malibu all over San Diego, looking for hungry, homeless people.
Hey, bae, how are you?
Looks like she's okay.
No, she's not.
Deborah says she's never met a homeless person who wasn't starving for her home cooking.
Come on, tell them over there to come on and eat.
On this day, she served more than 50 multi-course meals.
You got fork, curry chicken and rice, collard greens and smoked turkey.
All at her own expense.
Barbecue ribs, yeah.
Are you broke?
No.
I took that as a yes.
You're spending money you don't have.
Yes, but
But you don't understand the joy that I get from feeding people.
Tomorrow's spaghetti and meatballs, okay?
Because Deborah is so selfless.
Thank you for joining us.
Recently, the school district invited her down to the auto shop, surprised her with friends and family, and some better wheels to deliver those meals. This 2014 Mazda 3 was refurbished by an auto body class in the district. But to Deborah, it was like mint.
I'm not used to a new car, y'all.
She was so flabbergasted.
What do I do?
She didn't even know where to start. Literally.
Oh, okay.
What does it mean to you that faculty, the staff, the kids all wanted you to have this gift?
That I'm making a difference in their life, you know? I'm looking for my reward in heaven, and y'all gave me a little bit here on earth. Hallelujah.
Heaven on earth. For a woman who has always had room in her heart.
Yeah.
Just now.
Look at that.
More trunk space.
Three aluminum pans this size.
Steve Hartman, on the road in San Diego.
And I got tinted windows.
And I got tinted windows too, right? I hope you get it. So when you're going like, I'm trying to still wrap my head around it, I hope that through this series it's been clear that you and I have an opportunity. You and I have a chance to be positive because we know God. We're filled with Him. And as a result of Him filling our lives, there's an enthusiasm, an excitement, an opportunity to do what He's called us to do, to inspire, to help, to encourage other people. Ephesians chapter 6 says it like this. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I mean, do you get that right there? Like, we could just stop right there. It's about saying, hey, I'm not working for him or for her. I'm working for God. And as a result, man, I'm going to get everything I have to it. Now it continues. And remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. If you want to know why I challenge you to do good, here's a pretty good reason. I don't know about you, but I like rewards. I like feeling encouraged. I like knowing that God's on my side. And we have a God who promises that he's on our side. When we put others first, when we sacrifice, when we find a way to motivate, encourage, do whatever we got to do to inspire, to enthusiastically point people to Jesus and serve them in kindness. That's why we do what we do. And I know it's shocking for you. I know that there's a lot going on in this world, but let me remind you of something. I want to close with a song. It's this childhood song in some ways that you may remember, but our band pulled together, they got on the stage, and they kind of wanted to tell the story and remind you that even though it's been tough, even though it's been challenging, we got to remember we got a God who holds every bit of this world and our lives in his hands. Believe me, trust me, we need this reminder today. So as we wrap up this series of Staying Positive, let this song be an encouragement to you as well. He's got you, and he's got this world. Watch.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Total if I stop, yeah, everything will be alright. Whole world's in his hands, your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, faithful and he's true. Whole world's in his hands. Total by stop, yeah. Oh, 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 everything will be alright. Oh, 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 yeah.
Father, you say everything is gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. They say you hold the whole universe in your hands, but my world's falling apart like it was made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces, then put them back? Give me faith to believe you're on my side. Open my eyes to see you working in my life. Let the past remind me you never fail. Tell my soul it is well. Y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. The whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he's true. The whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh. Todo va a estar bien. Oh, oh, oh. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got your world in his hands. He's got your world in his hands. He's got your whole world in his hands.
Come on.
Todo va a estar bien.
Todo va a estar bien.
Everything will be alright. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got your world in his hands. He's got your world in his hands. He's got your whole world in his hands.
He's got us, you, me, this whole world in his hands. You pray with me. God, I just come to you. I pray that this series has been an encouragement, a reminder that you are in control. And as long as you're in control, God, all of us can be assured that we're going to make it. We're going to get through it. And then our job is to point to you in the midst of all the darkness, the trials, the struggles, that we would be full of hope, enthusiastic for furthering your kingdom, for sharing your love with the people that desperately need it. If there's some person, God, that happens to be watching today that doesn't know you, I pray that they would simply admit that they've made mistakes, believe that you are who you say you are, and ask that you would come into their life, that Jesus would come into their life, and it would change everything. Literally, filled with God changes everything. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to be your light in this world, to work enthusiastically for you until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, one time. All right, y'all, we're about to go into the post show. We're about to have a little fun with that. I know not everybody hangs out with us the whole time, but I got a little Earth, Wind, and Fire going into the post show for you, all right? So this is just to kind of get you going in a little bit, but let me just remind you, man, please sign up online for the Hope event that we're going to do for the hospitals. Go look on the app, download. We need 10 grand, y'all. It's a lot of money. Why are we doing that? To enthusiastically work for the Lord and do kind things for others so that they can be reminded, man, that he does have the whole world in his hands. So help us out to make sure that happens. I'll see you in the post show in just a couple of minutes.